Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Crosspoint Church.
Oh, Crosspoint, I love seeing those images and just seeing the good that you do and always have done. It's been amazing during this year, during these months of experiencing stay at home, the pandemic, all the things, how good y'all have been to each other and to our community and to people around the world. I don't know about you, but in those first few months, particularly like March and April, I felt like I saw a lot of people doing extra good, kind of going above and beyond to give us good news. I even think Jim from The Office, John Krasinski, created this like Instagram TV show, and I'm sure y'all watched it like I did, and every week they released a different episode that was just good. And it was just good news. And it was just kindness. In fact, one of the very first ones blew my mind because this kid had written in, I guess, and was not going to be able to see Hamilton and had tickets to Hamilton. And John Krasinski pulled together the whole original cast and they sang on the screen with the little kid. It was the sweetest. It was so kind. It was beautiful. In those days of stay at home when we were all kind of trapped in our own little personal lives, to see people doing good just to make the world better. We really needed it. I think my screen time went up pretty significantly for a couple of weeks in there because I needed to see good in the world. And that's where this involves us now, because we're asking, what does the world need? And last week, Pastor Kevin told us the world needs love, and he's right. If you didn't get to see last week, you need to go back and watch it. It is such a good setup for this whole series, but what the world needs is love. And this week, let's talk about good news. Let's talk about goodness and why the world really needs it. So last week we read Galatians 5, 13 through 26. This week we're gonna pick up in Galatians 5, start in verse 16. And it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The fruit of the Spirit. That is what the world needs, right? That's what we started last week is love. And this week we're going to talk about goodness. But when Pastor Kevin and I were talking about this, I had two pretty big questions before we even got started. Number one, what is goodness? Like, what is goodness? And why does it matter? We can look at love and understand love and why it matters, but why does goodness matter? Goodness is a hard word to define, right? Like, even when you look it up, it's like B being good. That's not very helpful. But goodness, you know it when you experience it, right? When you see a movie that moves you, when you're around people, have an experience, when you eat something that's good. Listen. Last weekend, we had a s'mores bar. And instead of it just being graham crackers and marshmallows and Hershey bars, there were Reese cups. Have you ever done this? Did you know this was a thing that you can trade out the Reese cups for the Hershey's bar? It is good, my friends. It is very good. I need you to try that. It's unbelievable, actually. It's very, very good. So we know goodness. We know what it feels like. It's just a little bit harder to define. And so I spent a lot of time researching goodness over the last few weeks. I watched other sermons. I read chapters of books. I asked everyone I knew. And one of my pastor friends that I love and respect, Phil Manganelli, he taught on it. And he talked about going back to the book of Genesis. And this blew my mind. Because he said, when you go back to Genesis 1, and you can go back and look, every time God creates, when he's done creating, what he says is, and it was good. And it was good. Over and over again, it was good. It was good. This is God's commentary from heaven, right? This is the word he chose to use. And before there was ever sin in the world, before any of that list of things that our flesh loves and wants to do that are of our sinful nature, before any of that, everything God made was good. And so when you wanted to find goodness and what actually happens when we're good, what you're actually doing is you are taking something that is broken, that is fallen, and you are returning it to how it was meant to be. You're returning it to the way it was always supposed to be. Bringing goodness to the world returns things to the created way, right? And you can experience that. You feel that's why we can define it. That's why we can't define it, but we can feel it, is because it takes us back somewhere that we almost don't have words for. That's what goodness does for us. We were meant to put things back into created order. Doctors do good work because they take things that are in us that are broken or diseased and they fix them. Chefs do good work. Have you been to City House? My gracious. Chefs do good work because they feed us. When someone is hungry and you feed them, that is good. When I think of my counselor, counselors do good work. They help heal us. Musicians do good work by creating art that matters to us. In fact, one of my favorite authors, Madeline L'Engel, wrote that every time people make art, they are taking the chaos and turning it into cosmos, right? That is good work. In fact, in Psalm 26, verse 6, it says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." I wonder if we even have eyes for goodness, right? Like, I mean, we do when there's Reese cups involved, for sure. But do we even have eyes for goodness? We are very quick, and it is very easy to identify evil, to point at something and call it evil, to recognize evil. Do we have eyes to recognize goodness? I wonder, when I think about that Psalm verse, I wonder if it takes a little bit of us turning around. If goodness and love are going to follow us all the days of our lives, maybe we just need to turn around and look at what God's done and look at who he's been. But know that that is behind us, that we can see him, see his goodness. So last week, Pastor Kevin asked, what does love require of me? What does love require of me? If I'm looking for love and I see it, what does it require of me? If the world needs it, what does it require of me? Because remember, my two questions are, what is goodness and why does it matter? What does goodness require of me and why does it matter? I want us to look in Romans 12. This is going to be in the Message version. There's this whole chunk about goodness. And so we're going to read that together and then kind of split it up and chop it up. So this is Romans 12, starting in verse 9. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. Cheerfully expect it. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch, or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Why do we say good versus evil? Isn't that a fascinating thing to think about as opposites? We don't say right versus evil. We don't say strong versus evil. We don't say love versus evil. We don't say kind. We say good. We say good versus evil. So do you want to know why goodness matters? Because you overcome evil with good. This is why goodness matters. This is why what you are hearing right now matters. Because if you want to overcome evil, you got to do good. Good is what overcomes evil. It is not force. It is not strength. It is goodness that overcomes evil. When you partner with God and you do good, when you restore things back to how they were always meant to be, you are overcoming evil with good. I am preaching. I feel this. But do you ever feel overcome by evil yourself? Not like you're a bad person. I mean, does the world ever feel like it is too much? Like the evil is this river that is washing over us. I mean, turn on the TV, open the Twitter app, look around, and it can feel like we are in a river and we have no footing and the evil is just rushing over us. It can feel hopeless, but when you do good, you stand up in that river and you are not overcome by evil. You overcome evil with good. You show goodness to be a fruit of your life. When you show that, you with Jesus are more powerful than the evil we see. I know it doesn't feel that way. I'm not talking to your feelings. I'm telling you the truth, that you overcome evil with good. So what does the world need? The world needs you to be good. The world needs you to be good to each other. So I'm going to tell you four things that goodness requires of you. If you're a note-taking person, if you've got Galatians open, if you've got Romans open and you're a note-taking person, I want to tell you four ways that goodness requires something of you so that we can overcome evil. Right? So the first one, be good to those that you love. Be good to the people you love, your friends, your neighbors, your family. Be good to them. When we go back to that Romans verse, look what it says. Romans covers all of this. It says, laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. When you are with your people, can you bring your full self to them? Can you be good to them, even just by putting your phone down when you're around the campfire making s'mores? Can you just put your phone down? You know that feeling of you're in a conversation and someone just has to check the time? It still feels like they've disconnected from you. Can we be good to our people and not be distracted while we're with them? Can we be good to our people and serve them when they're in need? What does it look like to show goodness to those that you love? So that's the first group. What does goodness require of you? Goodness requires you to overcome evil by being good to the people that you love. Number two, goodness also requires you to overcome evil by being good to yourself. Be good to yourself. Pastor Kevin talked about it last week. Your body, your soul, your spirit, right? Your soul, which includes your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality. Even when I think about that, I think about in Philippians where it says, think about good things. In Philippians 4, it's like, think about what's lovely and think about what's good. What you fill your mind with is what your life is filled with. Be good to yourself. Be good to your body. Be good to your spirit. You're doing it right now, participating in church and corporate worship. When you read your Bible, when you are connecting with God, you are being good to yourself. That matters. In fact, Romans tells us this. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply and practice playing second fiddle. Love from the center of who you are. If you are good to yourself, Jesus says this, y'all. He says, someone says, what's the greatest commandments? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. That matters. What's going on in the center of you reflects out to all of us. You think we don't know? We know. Be good to yourself. Be good to your body. Be good to your mind. Be good to your spirit. And that is overcoming evil with good. We are going to overcome evil with good when we do that. So the third thing, to overcome evil with goodness. What does goodness require of you? What does the world need? The world needs you to be good to strangers. Be good to people you do not know. Be good to people who can't do anything for you. Be good to people that are in need. Be good to people that you've never met before and you may never meet again. It's one of my favorite things about Crosspoint, right? We have Serving Saturday and we have local good and global good. We don't use those words on accident. What we are doing is saying locally, we're going to overcome evil with good by doing good. Globally, like we've already heard about, we're going to overcome evil by doing good globally. We didn't just randomly pick those words. That's on purpose. In fact, in this Romans section, discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, you've got it in you. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Last weekend, I was driving to Georgia for a wedding, and I have this, y'all are not gonna love this story. I have this sticky note kind of note from my mentor on my dashboard. It's a scripture, and so it's there in front of me, and I'm driving down to Georgia in my little Toyota RAV4, and I'm probably 90 miles outside of Athens. I'm in the middle of beautiful nowhere, Tennessee. And I don't know why, but we have to listen to these moments. We have to listen to these moments, but I don't know why. But all of a sudden, I thought, I should move that little card. I'm telling y'all, I do not know why. I moved that little card and I didn't realize it had been blocking my the little light that tells me that there's a problem with my tires. And it's on. And I was like, oh my gosh. First of all, I've literally had a moment where I said, Lord, thank you for even putting that in my brain, for even whispering to me to move that card. I haven't moved that card in months. So when did that light turn on? No one knows. But I moved the card and the tire alert light is on. You're yelling at me because you know the actual word. I don't know it. The tire alert light. It's on, but I know what it means. And so I get to the next exit. I call my dad. Don't we all call our dads? I call my dad and dad says, well, you've got to go to a tire dealership. And I'm like, I'm in beautiful nowhere, Tennessee. I am not going to go to a tire place. I'll just go to a gas station. I'm a very capable woman, even with my dad on the phone. I have my little thing that you put on the tire that blows out the, tells you the number. And I know what number my car needs, 36. And so I thought, I'll just go to a gas station and I will check all four tires and I'll see which one is low. And as I'm going toward the gas station, I notice to my left that there's a Chevy dealership. And every dealership has a service department. And I'm saying to my dad, Dad, I can do this. I'll just fix it. And he's like, if there is something in your tire, blowing it up and driving another 200 miles is not the solution. And I'm like, Dad, but he's right. And so I'm like, you know what? I don't drive a Chevy. Wish I did, they're very cool. I don't drive a Chevy, I drive a Toyota, but maybe I can just pull into this place and see if they'll look at the tires and help me figure out what the problem is. And I look and there's not a lot of cars, which makes me feel better. And I pull in and I put my little mask on and I walk into the office and Cindy, her desk is covered in papers. I mean, yellow, white, staple, staple. She says, hold on. She starts a phone call. I was like, you're starting a phone call? I just walked in, Cindy. And so I am just kind of standing there and I'm smiling, but no one knows because I have a mask on, but I'm smizing. And she finishes her phone call and then she says, can I help you? And I explain to her the situation. And she says, well, it's going to be 45 minutes to an hour. I was like, okay, well, I'm driving to a wedding and I'll just stop. I can wait. She says, it's like her face changed, y'all. And she goes, okay, well, let me just come look at it. I said, okay, Cindy. So she came out and she went and looked at all four tires. She's like, they all look okay. Let me just drive it back. I was like, okay, Cindy, I see you. And so Cindy just takes my little RAV back to the Chevy parts department. And Brian is back there. And she gets out and she walks back to me and Brian starts messing with my tires. And with her desk covered in papers and her phone ringing, Cindy just like stands with me and talks to me the whole time. And just like, how long has she worked there and why she's there and her family and asks me questions. And we like become pals there at the Chevy dealership in beautiful nowhere, Tennessee. And about 10 minutes later, Brian drives my car out and back around. And he explains, he says, actually all four of your tires were really low. And he's like, so I just blew them up and you're ready to go. And I was like, oh, well, hey, thank you. I could have waited, but thank you for doing that. And I said, how much do I owe you? And they're like, you're fine. And I was like, I am a stranger. You don't know me at all. You don't know my job. You don't know where I'm from. All you know is I'm going from Nashville to Georgia for a wedding. I was an absolute stranger and they were so good to me. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. They wouldn't even let me pay for it. Goodness to strangers overcomes evil and brings good into the world. Because I got to a wedding on time that I was doing, by the way. I had to be on time. I was the officiant. I had to be on time. Cindy and Brian overcame evil with good. Because they were good to a stranger. And I'll be a long time grateful for that. So what does the world need now? And what does goodness require of you to overcome evil, to be good to the people that you love, to be good to yourself, to be good to strangers, and finally, being good to your enemies? Now, I know we probably don't really have a list of enemies. That's not really a word we use commonly. Church of the City East pastor Matt Spalbone calls them cultural enemies. The people who don't vote like you, the people who don't have skin color like you, the people who don't live in the same neighborhood as you, the people who drive differently than you. You may not call them an enemy, but you call them something. They exist. They exist for me too. You should see some of the things people say in my DMs, y'all. I would never call people an enemy. In fact, Jesus is never one who called anyone else's enemy. They said he was their enemy. But Jesus had enemies. We think about the Good Samaritan story from Luke 10. And because we didn't live then, we don't totally get it, but the guy who's injured, the first few people who walk by him are his friends. They are his neighbors. They are the people who should be helping him. And when the Good Samaritan walks by, that's actually his enemy. They actually don't get along. Those two people groups don't get along. In fact, in the book of John, when Jesus is at the well with a Samaritan woman, she says, why is a Jewish man asking me for water? She's like, we don't mix, man. We don't do this. And so in that story in Luke, everyone hearing the story at the time recognized that Jesus was saying something shocking, that an enemy would stop and help an enemy and take them to an inn and get them healed up and better, when all the people who actually loved and should have taken care of the injured men walked right by. Romans talks about it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Even with our enemies, we overcome evil with good. So we need to be good to them too. I don't know what that looks like for you. I could give you a list of things, but you know. I know. And it all feels hard, doesn't it? If all four of those things feel hard to do. Sometimes it feels hard to be good to the people that I love because it takes up some of my time and it makes me stop being selfish. Sometimes it is hard to be good to myself because I want to be lazy and I want to not do anything that matters, and I don't want to care for my body or my spirit or my soul. So it feels hard. And it can actually be hard to be good to strangers because it takes up your time and interrupts your life. And you aren't sure it's going to go well, right? And it can be really hard to be good to the people that you consider enemies or whatever you want to call them. It can be very hard to be good to them because they've been awful to you. And because they've said and done things that are what the world would call unforgivable, but we people of faith don't call it that. It is hard to be good. It is hard to be good. It is. I know, it feels hard to me too. But here's the thing. These are the fruits of the Spirit. When you are in a relationship with Jesus, when this is your story, when you are trying and walking toward your faith life, these things live in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those are in you. They're already in you. So with Jesus, it is his strength in you. In fact, in Colossians, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When that is in you, you can go, I want to be good here. I want to be good here. Lord, show me how to be good to my neighbors. Show me how to be good to the people that I love. Because it matters, y'all. It matters. Have I said it enough? It matters because when you are good to anyone, you are reflecting Christ to them and you are overcoming evil. And when we look at our world, it feels evil, and we have the answer. Jesus is the answer, and they see him through our good works. So let's be good to our neighbors. Let's be good to ourselves. Let's be good to strangers. And somehow can we be good to our enemies too? This verse has just been over and over in my head. Romans 12:21. This is in the NIV. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If you're a scripture memory person, if you want to put it on a note card and hang it up in your bathroom, maybe don't put it on your dashboard of your car, because maybe you miss some signals from your actual vehicle. But put this note, make it a phone screen on the back of your phone where you think, do not be overcome by evil. Today, I'm going to overcome evil with good. When the evil feels too much, remind yourself, do not be overcome by evil. What can I do that is good right now? You want to change things? You want your vote to matter? You want to make a difference? Let's start by doing good right now. Tomorrow, you feel overcome by evil, get up and go do something good. Go do something good. Ask God to open doors. You want your life to get interrupted? Ask God to open doors and let you do some good stuff. And you will, and you will, and it will matter. If we do nothing, the evil overcomes us. If we do good, we overcome the evil. I like that. I like that. So we're going to pray together. And I don't know about you, but I am going to just lead us in a little bit of a prayer of repentance for the times that we have not chosen to do good and not been led by the Holy Spirit to do good. And then, so you can just pray that along with me as we pray. If you just want to say it, repentance is just saying to God that I want to be different than I was. I want to turn and go the other way. And there are times where I've chosen not to do good and I want to turn and go the other way because I want to see evil lose. I know it happens in the long run, but I want to see it in Nashville now. So I want to do good. So let's pray together. Lord, yeah, I'm just sorry for the times that I haven't been active in doing good for my friends, for the people that I love, for my own self. I'm sorry for the times that I have ignored strangers instead of being good to them. And I'm sorry for the times that my anger wins and my ability to be snarky wins. And I haven't been good to my enemies. And I haven't been good to the people who are different than me and think different than me. And so God, I just want to be different. I want to be different. I want to see evil lose in our day. I want to see revival come in our day into Middle Tennessee and wherever this is being listened to and watched. And so God, I just ask that you would give us hearts that long to do good, that we would be active about overcoming evil with good. It is only with you, Jesus. I know I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me. I'm not that nice of a person, but it is your fruit that is in me. It is you in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is enough to help us to be good to our people. So Jesus, would you do that in us? Would you help us to do good? We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, go out this week and do something good. Do something good. Overcome evil with good. We love you. We'll see you next week.